cash deposit in my bank account. The diagram available on our companion site is what a simplified version of my architecture looks like, including some sample costs. If you have developed a product based on the guidelines in the last two chapters, it will plug into this structure hand in glove. Where am I in the diagram? Nowhere. I am not a toll booth through which anything needs to pass. I am more like a police officer on the side of the road who can step in if need be, and I use detailed reports from outsourcers to ensure the cogs are moving as intended. I check reports from fulfillment each Monday and monthly reports from the same the first of each month. The latter reports include orders received from the call center, which I can compare to the call center bills to gauge profit. Otherwise, I just check bank accounts online on the 1st and 15th of each month to look for odd deductions. If I find something, one email will fix it. And if not, it's back to kendo, painting, hiking, or whatever I happen to be doing at the time. Removing yourself from the equation. When and how? The system is the solution. AT&T. The diagram should be your rough blueprint for designing a self-sustaining virtual architecture. There could be differences, more or fewer elements, but the main principles are the same. 1. Contract outsourcing companies. Contract outsourcing companies can be as simple as dependable web-based services. Don't let the term intimidate you. That specialize in one function versus freelancers whenever possible, so that if someone is fired, quits, or doesn't perform, you can replace them without interrupting your business. Hire trained groups of people who can provide detailed reporting and replace one another as needed. 2. Ensure that all outsourcers are willing to communicate among themselves to solve problems and give them written permission to make most inexpensive decisions without consulting you first. I started at less than $100 and moved to $400 after 2 months. How do you get there? It helps to look at where entrepreneurs typically lose their momentum and stall permanently. Most entrepreneurs begin with the cheapest tools available, bootstrapping and doing things themselves to get up and running with little cash. This isn't the problem. In fact, it's necessary so that the entrepreneurs can train outsourcers later. The problem is that these same entrepreneurs don't know when and how to replace themselves or their homemade infrastructure with something more scalable. By scalable, I mean a business architecture that can handle 10,000 orders per week as easily as it can handle 10 orders per week. Doing this requires minimizing your decision-making responsibilities, which achieves our goal of time freedom while setting the stage for doubling and tripling income with no change in hours worked. Call the companies at the end of the chapter to research costs. Plan and budget accordingly to upgrade infrastructure at the following milestones, which I measure in units of product shipped. Phase 1. 0 to 50 total units of product shipped. Do it all yourself. Put your phone number on the site for both general questions and order taking. This is important in the beginning. And take customer calls to determine common questions that you will answer later in an online FAQ. This FAQ will also be the main material for training phone operators and developing sales scripts. Is PPC, an offline advertisement, or your website too vague or misleading, thus attracting unqualified and time-consuming consumers? If so, change them to answer common questions and make the product benefits, including what it isn't or doesn't do, clearer. Answer all email and save your responses in one folder called Customer Service Questions. CC yourself on responses and put the nature of the customer's questions in the subject lines for future indexing. Personally pack and ship all product to determine the cheapest options for both. Investigate opening a merchant account from your local small bank. Easier to get than with a larger bank, for later outsourced credit card processing at higher rollout volumes. Phase 2. 10 units shipped per week. Add the extensive FAQ to your website and continue to add answers to common questions as received. Find local fulfillment companies in the Yellow Pages under Fulfillment Services or Mailing Services. If you cannot find one there or at mfsanet.org, call local printers and ask them for recommendations. Narrow the field to those, often the smallest, who will agree not to charge you setup fees and monthly minimums. If this isn't possible, ask for at least 50% off both and then request that the setup fee be applied as an advance against shipping or their other fees. Limit the candidates further to those who can respond to order status email, ideal, or phone calls from customers. The email from your customer service folder will be provided as copy and paste responses, especially those related to order status and refund requests. Sample email responses for fulfillment purposes can be found at 4hourblog.com. To lower or eliminate miscellaneous fees, explain that you are a startup and that your budget is small. Tell them you need the cash for advertising that will drive more shipments. If needed, mention the competitive companies that you are considering and pit them against one another, using lower pricing or concessions from one to get larger discounts and bonuses from the others. Before making your final selection, ask for at least 3 client references and use the following to elicit the negatives. I understand they're good, but everyone has weaknesses. If you had to point out where you've had some issues and what they're not the best at, what would you say? Can you please describe an incident or a disagreement? I expect these with all companies, so it's no big deal, and it's confidential, of course. Ask for net 30 terms, payment for services 30 days after they're rendered, after 1 month of prompt payments for their services. It is easier to negotiate all of the above points with smaller operations that need the business. Have your contract manufacturer ship product directly to the fulfillment house once you have decided on one and put the fulfillment house's email. You can use an email address at your domain and forward it, or phone number on the online thank you page for order status questions. Phase 3. More than 20 units shipped per week. Now you will have the cash flow to afford the setup fees and the monthly minimums that bigger, more sophisticated outsourcers will ask for. Call the end-to-end fulfillment houses that handle it all, from order status to returns and refunds. Interview them about costs and ask them for referrals to call centers and credit card processors they've collaborated with for file transfers and problem solving. Don't assemble an architecture of strangers. There will be programming costs and mistakes, both of which are expensive. Set up an account with the credit card processor first, for which you will need your own merchant account. This is critical, as the fulfillment house can only handle refunds and declined cards for transactions they process themselves through an outsourced credit card processor. Optionally, set up an account with one of the call centers your new fulfillment center recommends. These will often have toll-free numbers you can use instead of purchasing your own. Look at the percentage split of online-to-phone orders during testing and consider carefully if the extra revenue from the latter is worth the hassle. It often isn't. Those who call to order will generally order online if given no other option. Before signing on with a call center, get several 800 numbers they answer for current clients and make test calls, asking difficult product-related questions and gauging sales abilities. Call each number at least 3 times, morning, afternoon, and evening, and note the make-or-break factor, wait time. The phone should be answered within 3 to 4 rings, and if you are put on hold, the shorter the wait, the better. More than 15 seconds will result in too many abandoned calls and waste advertising dollars. Splitting the pie. Outsourcer economics. Each outsourcer takes a piece of the revenue pie. Here is what the general profit loss might look like for a hypothetical $80 product sold via phone and developed with the help of an expert who is paid a royalty. I recommend calculating profit margins using higher than anticipated expenses. This will account for unforeseen costs, read screw-ups, and miscellaneous fees such as monthly reports, etc. Revenue. Product cost, $80. Shipping and handling, $12.95. Total revenue, $92.95. Expenses. Product manufacturing, $10. Call center, 83 cents per minute, times average call time of 4 minutes, $3.32. Shipping, $5.80. Fulfillment, $1.85 per package, plus 50 cents for boxes and packing, $2.35. Credit card processing, 2.75% of $92.95, $2.56. Returns plus declined cards, 6% of $92.95, $5.58. Royalties, 5% of wholesale price of $48, $80 times 0.6, $2.40. Total expenses, $32.01. Profit, revenue minus expenses, $60.94. How do you factor in advertising cost? If a $1,000 ad or $1,000 in PPC produces 50 sales, my advertising cost per order, CPO, is $20. This makes the actual per unit profit $40.94. The art of indecision. Fewer options equals more revenue. Companies go out of business when they make the wrong decisions or, just as important, make too many decisions. The latter creates complexity. Mike Maples, co-founder of Motive Communications, IPO to $260 million market cap, founding executive of Tivoli, sold to IBM for $750 million, and investor in companies such as Dig.com. Joseph Sugarman is the marketing genius behind dozens of direct response and retail successes, including the blue blocker sunglasses phenomenon. Prior to his string of home runs on television, he sold 20,000 pairs of blue blockers within 15 minutes of his first QVC appearance. His domain was print media, where he made millions and built an empire called JS&A Group. He was once recruited to design an advertisement for a manufacturer's watch line. The manufacturer wanted to feature 9 different watches in the ad, and Joe recommended featuring just one. The client insisted, and Joe offered to do both and test them in the same issue of the Wall Street Journal. The result? The one watch offer outsold the 9 watch offer 6-1. Henry Ford once said, referring to his Model T, the best-selling car of all time, "The customer can have any color he wants, so long as it's black." He understood something that business people seem to have forgotten. Serving the customer, customer service, is not becoming a personal concierge and catering to their every whim and want. Customer service is providing an excellent product at an acceptable price and solving legitimate problems, lost packages, replacements, refunds, etc., in the fastest manner possible. That's it. The more options you offer the customer, the more indecision you create and the fewer orders you receive. It is a disservice all around. Furthermore, the more options you offer the customer, the more manufacturing and customer service burden you create for yourself. The art of indecision refers to minimizing the number of decisions your customers can or need to make. Here are a few methods that I and other NR have used to reduce service overhead 20-80%. 1. Offer 1 or 2 purchase options, basic and premium, for example, and no more. 2. Do not offer multiple shipping options. Offer 1 fast method instead and charge a premium. 3. Do not offer overnight or expedited shipping. It is possible to refer them to a reseller who does, as is true with all of these points, as these shipping methods will produce hundreds of anxious phone calls. 4. Eliminate phone orders completely and direct all prospects to online ordering. This seems outrageous until you realize that success stories like Amazon.com have depended on it as a fundamental cost saver to survive and thrive. 5. Do not offer international shipments. Spending 10 minutes per order filling out customs forms and then dealing with customer complaints when the product costs 20 to 100% more with tariffs and duties is about as fun as headbutting a curb. It's about as profitable, too. Some of these policies hint at what is perhaps the biggest time saver of all: customer filtering. Not all customers are created equal. Once you reach phase 3 and have some cash flow, it's time to reevaluate your customers and thin the herd. There are good and bad versions of all things. Good food, bad movies, good sex, and yes, good customers and bad customers. Decide now to do business with the former and avoid the latter. I recommend looking at the customer as an equal trading partner and not as an infallible blessing of a human being to be pleased at all costs. If you offer an excellent product at an acceptable price, it is an equal trade and not a begging session between subordinate, you, and superior, customer. Be professional, but never kowtow to unreasonable people. Instead of dealing with problem customers, I recommend you prevent them from ordering in the first place. I know dozens of NR who don't accept Western Union or checks as payment. Some would respond to this with, "You're giving up 10 to 15% of your sales." The NR, in turn, would say, "I am, but I'm also avoiding the 10 to 15% of the customers who create 40% of the expenses and eat 40% of my time." It's classic 80-20. Those who spend the least and ask for the most before ordering will do the same after the sale. Cutting them out is both a good lifestyle decision and a good financial decision. Low-profit and high-maintenance customers like to call operators and spend up to 30 minutes on the phone asking questions that are unimportant or answered online, costing, in my case, $24.90, 30 times 83 cents per 30-minute incident, eliminating the minuscule profit they contribute in the first place. Those who spend the most complain the least. In addition to our premium $50 to $200 pricing, here are a few additional policies that attract the high-profit and low-maintenance customers we want. 1. Do not accept payment via Western Union, checks, or money order. 2. Raise wholesale minimums to 12 to 100 units and require a tax ID number to qualify resellers who are real business people and not time-intensive novices. Don't run a personal business school. 3. Refer all potential resellers to an online order form that must be printed, filled out, and faxed in. Never negotiate pricing or approve lower pricing for higher volume orders. Cite company policy due to having had problems in the past. 4. Offer low-priced products, a la MRI's NO2 book, instead of free products to capture contact information for follow-up sales. Offering something for free is the best way to attract time eaters and spend money on those unwilling to return the favor. 5. Offer a lose-win guarantee instead of free trials. 6. Do not accept orders from common mail fraud countries such as Nigeria. Make your customer base an exclusive club and treat the members well once they've been accepted. The lose-win guarantee. How to sell anything to anyone. If you want a guarantee, buy a toaster. Clint Eastwood. The 30-day money-back guarantee is dead. It just doesn't have the pizzazz it once did. If a product doesn't work, I've been lied to and will have to spend an afternoon at the post office to return it. This costs me more than just the price I paid for the product, both in time and actual postage. risk elimination just isn't enough. This is where we enter the neglected realm of lose-win guarantees and risk reversal. The NR use what most consider an afterthought, the guarantee, as a cornerstone sales tool. The NR aim to make it profitable for the customer even if the product fails. Lose-win guarantees not only remove risk for the consumer, but put the company at financial risk. Here are a few examples of putting your money where your mouth is. Delivered in 30 minutes or less, or it's free. Domino's Pizza built its business on this guarantee. We're so confident you'll like Cialis. If you don't, we'll pay for the brand of your choice. The Cialis Promise Program offers a free sample of Cialis and then offers to pay for competing products if Cialis doesn't live up to the hype. If your car is stolen, we'll pay $500 of your insurance deductible. This guarantee helped The Club become the number one selling mechanical automobile anti-theft device in the world. 110% guaranteed to work within 60 minutes of the first dose. This was for BodyQuick, and a first among sports nutrition products. I offered to not only refund customers the price of the product if it didn't work within 60 minutes of the first dose, but also to send them a check for 10% more. The lose-win guarantee might seem like a big risk, especially when someone can abuse it for profit, like in the BodyQuick example, but it isn't. If your product delivers. Most people are honest. Let's look at some actual numbers. Returns for BodyQuick, even with a 60-day return period, and partially because of it, are less than 3% in an industry in which the average is 12 to 15% for a normal 30-day 100% money-back guarantee. Sales increased more than 300% within 4 weeks of introducing the 110% guarantee, and returns decreased overall. For the benefit of the customer and to capitalize on universal laziness, me included, provide as much time as possible to consider or forget the product. Ginsu Knives offered a 50-year guarantee. Can you offer a 60, 90, or even 365-day guarantee? Gauge average return percentages with a 30- or 60-day guarantee first for budgeting calculations and cash flow projections, and then extend it. Johanna adopted this lose-win offer and came up with increased sports-specific flexibility 40% in 2 weeks, or return it for a full refund, including shipping, and keep the 20-minute bonus DVD as our gift. Sherwood found his guarantee as well. If these shirts are not the most comfortable you've ever worn, return them and get 2 times your purchase price back. Each shirt is also guaranteed for life. If it gets threadbare, send it back, and we'll replace it free of charge. Both of them increased sales more than 200% in the first 2 months. Return percentage remained the same for Johanna and increased 50% for Sherwood, from 2 to 3%. Disaster? Far from it. Instead of selling 50 and getting one back with a 100% guarantee, 50 times 100 minus $100 equals $4,900 in revenue, he sold 200 and got 6 back with the 200% guarantee. 200 times $100 minus 6 times $200 equals $18,800 in revenue. I'll take the latter. Lose-win is the new win-win. Stand out and reap the rewards. Little Blue Chip. How to look Fortune 500 in 45 minutes. Are you tired of sand being kicked in your face? I promise you new muscles in days. Charles Atlas, strongman who sold more than $30 million worth of dynamic tension muscle courses through comic books. If approaching large resellers or potential partners, small company size will be an obstacle. This discrimination is often as insurmountable as it is unfounded. Fortunately, a few simple steps can dramatically upgrade your budding Fortune 500 image and take your muse from coffee shop to boardroom in 45 minutes or less. 1. Don't be the CEO or founder. Being the CEO or founder screams startup. Give yourself the mid-level title of Vice President, VP, Director, or something similar that can be added to depending on the occasion, Director of Sales, Director of Business Development, etc. For negotiation purposes as well, remember that it is best not to appear to be the ultimate decision maker. 2. Put multiple email and phone contacts on the website. Put various email addresses on the Contact Us page for different departments such as Human Resources, Sales, General Inquiries, Wholesale Distribution, Media PR, Investors, Web Comments, Order Status, and so on. In the beginning, these will all forward to your email address. In Phase 3, most will forward to the appropriate outsourcers. Multiple toll-free numbers can be used in the same fashion. 3. Set up an interactive voice response IVR remote receptionist. It is possible to sound like a blue chip for less than $30. In fewer than 10 minutes on a site such as Angel.com, which boasts clients such as Reebok and Kellogg's, it is possible to set up an 800 number that greets callers with a voice prompt such as, "Thank you for calling, business name. Please say the name of the person or department you would like to reach or just hold on for a list of options." Upon speaking your name or selecting the appropriate department, the caller is forwarded to your preferred phone or the appropriate outsourcer with on-hold music and all. 4. Do not provide home addresses. Do not use your home address or you will get visitors. Prior to securing an end-to-end fulfillment house that can handle checks and money orders, if you decide to accept them, use a post office box, but leave out the P.O. box and include the street address of the post office itself. Thus, P.O. Box 555 Nowhere U.S. 11936 becomes Suite 555 1234 Downtown Avenue U.S. 11936. Go forth and project professionalism with a well-designed image. Perceived size does matter. Comfort challenge. Relax in public. 2 days. This is the last comfort challenge, placed prior to the chapter that tackles the most uncomfortable turning point for most office dwellers, negotiating remote work agreements. This challenge is intended to be fun while showing, in no uncertain terms, that the rules most follow are nothing more than social conventions. There are no legal boundaries stopping you from creating an ideal life, or just being self-entertained and causing mass confusion. So, relaxing in public. Sounds easy, right? I'm somewhat famous for relaxing in style to get a laugh out of friends. Here is the deal, and I don't care if you're male or female, 20 or 60, Mongolian or Martian, I call the following a timeout. Once per day, for 2 days, simply lie down in the middle of a crowded public place at some point. Lunchtime is ideal. It can be a well-trafficked sidewalk, the middle of a popular Starbucks, or a popular bar. There is no real technique involved, just lie down and remain silent on the ground for about 10 seconds, and then get up and continue on with whatever you were doing before. I used to do this at nightclubs to clear space for breakdancing circles. No one responded to pleading, but going catatonic on the ground did the trick. Don't explain it at all. If someone asks about it after the fact, he or she will be too confused to ask you while you're doing it for 10 seconds. Just respond, "I just felt like lying down for a second." The less you say, the funnier and more gratifying this will be. Do it on solo missions for the first 2 days, and then feel free to do it when with a group of friends. It's a riot. It isn't enough to think outside the box. Thinking is passive. Get used to acting outside the box. Tools and tricks. Looking huge. Virtual receptionist and IVR. Angel. Angel.com. Get an 800 number with professional voice menu, voice recognition departments, extensions, etc. in 5 minutes. Incredible. Ring Central. RingCentral.com. Offers toll-free numbers, call screening and forwarding, voicemail, fax send and receive, and message alerts. All online. CD-DVD duplication, printing, and product packaging. AVC Corporation. AVCCorp.com. SF Video. SFVideo.com. Local fulfillment. Fewer than 20 units shipped per week. Mailing Fulfillment Service Association. MFSANet.org. End-to-end fulfillment companies. More than 20 units shipped per week. $500 plus setup. Motivational Fulfillment. MFPSync.com. The secret back end to campaigns from HBO, PBS, Comic Relief, Body by Jake, and more. InnoTrack. InnoTrack.com. They are currently one of the largest DR marketing companies. Molten Fulfillment. MoltonFulfillment.com. 200,000 square foot facility with real-time online inventory reports. Call centers. Per minute and or per sale fees. There are generally two classes of call centers, order takers and commissioned reps. Interview each provider you consider to understand the options and costs involved. The former is a good option if you give the product price in an advertisement, hard offer, are offering free information, lead generation, or don't need trained salespeople who can overcome objections. In other words, your ad or website is pre-qualifying prospects. The latter would more appropriately be called sales centers. Operators are commissioned and trained closers whose sole goal is to convert callers to buyers. These calls are often in response to call for information, trial, sample ads that don't feature a price, soft offers. Expect higher costs per sale. LiveOps. LiveOps.com. Pioneer in home-based reps, which often ensures more calls are answered. Provides comprehensive service with agents, IVR, and Spanish, often used for one-step order taking instead of soft offers. West Teleservices, west.com. 29,000 employees worldwide, processes billions of minutes per year. All the high-volume and low-price players use them for lower-priced products or higher-end products with free trials and installment plans. NexRep. NexRep.com. Highly skilled home-based sales agents that specialize in B2C and B2B, inbound and outbound programs. If performance, speed to respond, internet integration, and quality customer experience are your priorities, this is a strong option to consider. Triton Technology. TritonTechnology.com. Commission-only sales center known for incredible closing abilities. See the movie Boiler Room and Alec Baldwin's character in Glengarry Glen Ross. Don't call unless your product sells for at least $100. CenterPoint Teleservices. CenterPointLLC.com. This sales force has experience to convert sales from hard offers, soft offers, and multiple offers, upselling additional products after a caller agrees to purchase the advertised product, originating from radio, TV, print, or the web. Stewart Response Group. StewartResponseGroup.com. Sales-driven call center leveraging the home agent model for both inbound and outbound programs. Another high-touch boutique center. Credit card processors. Merchant account through your bank necessary. These companies, unlike options in the last chapter, specialize in not only processing credit cards, but interacting with fulfillment on your behalf, removing you from the flowchart. TransFirst Payment Processing. TransFirst.com. Chase Payment Tech. PaymentTech.com. Trust Commerce. TrustCommerce.com. PowerPay. PowerPay.biz. One of the Inc. 500 fastest-growing private companies. Process credit cards from your iPhone and more. Affiliate Program Software. My Affiliate Program. myaffiliateprogram.com. Also see the affiliate programs listed in the tools and tricks at the end of Chapter 9. Discount media buying agencies. If you go to a magazine, radio station, or TV channel and pay rate card, the retail pricing first given, you will never make it big. To save a lot of headache and expense, consider using ad agencies that negotiate discounts of up to 90% in their chosen media. Manhattan Media, print, manhmedia.com. Great agency with fast turnaround. I've used them since the beginning. Novus Media, print, novusprintmedia.com. Relationships with 1,400-plus magazine and newspaper publishers with an average of 80% of rate card. Clients include Sharper Image and Office Depot. Mercury Media, TV, mercurymedia.com. Largest private DR media agency in the U.S. Specialists in TV, but can also handle radio and print. Offer full tracking and reporting to determine ROI. Euro RSCG, Cross Media. EuroRSCGEdge.com. One of the worldwide leaders in DRTV media across all platforms. Canela Media Response Television, TV. DRTV.com. Uses the innovative PI, per inquiry model for compensation, where you split order profits instead of paying for time up front. This is more expensive per order if you have a successful campaign, but it lowers upfront investment in media. Marketing Architects, Radio. MarketingArchitects.com. The de facto leaders in radio DR, but a bit on the expensive side. Almost all of the most successful DR products, Carlton Sheets, No Money Down, Tony Robbins, etc., have used them. Radio Direct Response, Radio. RadioDirect.com. Mark Lipsky has put together a great firm, with clients ranging from small direct marketers to Travel Channel and Wells Fargo. Online marketing and research firms, PPC campaign management, etc. Starting small, find a local individual to help. Sempo. Sempo.org. See the member directory. Excellent mid-size firms. Clicks to customers. Clicks2Customers.com. Working Planet. WorkingPlanet.com. The hard-hitting pros. Small campaigns start at several thousand dollars. Marketing Experiments. MarketingExperiments.com. This is my team. Did It. Did-It.com. ROI Revolution. ROIRevolution.com. Cost is determined by a percentage above monthly PPC spend. iProspect. iProspect.com. Full-service infomercial producers. These are the companies that made Auric Direct, Nutrisystem, Nordic Track, and Hooked on Phonics household names. The first has an excellent DRTV glossary, and both sites offer excellent resources. Don't call unless you can budget at least $15,000 for a short-form commercial or $50,000 plus for a long-form infomercial. Cesari Direct, cesaridirect.com. Hawthorne Direct, hawthornedirect.com. Script to Screen, scripttoscreen.com. Retail and international product distribution. Want to get your product on the shelves of Walmart, Costco, Nordstrom, or the leading department store in Japan? Sometimes it pays to have experts with relationships get you there. TriStar Products. TriStarProductsInc.com. Behind the Power Juicer and other hits, TriStar also owns their own production studio and can therefore offer end-to-end services in addition to retail distribution. BJ Direct International. BJGD.com. Celebrity Brokers. Want a celebrity to endorse your product or be a spokesperson? It can cost a lot less than you think if you do it right. I know of one clothing endorsement deal with the best pitcher in Major League Baseball that costs just $20,000 per year. Here are the brokers who can make it happen. Celeb Brokers. Celebbrokers.com. President Jack King was the one who first turned me on to this fascinating world. He knows it all, inside and out. Celebrity Endorsement Network, celebrityendorsement.com. Celebrity Finding, contact any celebrity, contactanycelebrity.com. It is possible to do it yourself, as I have done many times. This online directory and its helpful staff will help you find any celebrity in the world. Lifestyle Design in Action. After I read the section on outsourcing, I thought it sounded like a novel idea but would never work for me. However, since the rest of the book was spot on, I decided to try it. Rather than ship my money overseas, I opted to keep it in the U.S. and use my niece in college with skills on computers I can't even fathom to test the theory. Turns out, it has been a great experience and time-saver for me, as well as moneymaker for her. It seems I have all of the positives of outsourcing, but none of the hassles of language and such. Being able to mold a young mind for the better ties in well with the rest of your book. Ken D. Hey, Tim, you mentioned Weebly.com a few months ago, and I've been using that to build all my Muse sites and think it's great. Also, Facebook Groups has almost every niche imaginable. So what I have found success in doing is, 1, finding a niche group that would buy my Muse, 2, sending a message to each admin telling them how my Muse will help their group members, then politely asking them to put a blurb in the recent news section of the group. This makes it more trustworthy than a wall post, and it stays up there, free advertising, until the admin removes it. 100 times better than a wall post. In one case, the admin purchased my Muse, posted my note for me on the group's recent news section, then emailed the entire group, telling them they have to check out my site. Gavin. Step 4. L is for liberation. It is far better for a man to go wrong in freedom than to go right in chains. Thomas H. Huxley, English biologist, known as Darwin's Bulldog. 12. Disappearing Act. How to Escape the Office. By working faithfully 8 hours a day, you may eventually get to be a boss and work 12 hours a day. Robert Frost, American poet and winner of 4 Pulitzer Prizes. On this path, it is only the first step that counts. Saint Jean-Baptiste Marie Vianney, Catholic saint, Curé des Arts. Palo Alto, California. We're not going to expense the phone. I'm not asking you to. Silence. Then a nod. A laugh. And a crooked smile of resignation. Okay, then. It's fine. And that was that. Lickety-split. 44-year-old Dave Camarillo, lifelong employee, had cracked the code and started his second life. He hadn't been fired. He hadn't been yelled at. His boss seemed to be handling the whole situation quite well. Granted, Dave delivered the goods on the job, and it wasn't like he was doing naked snow angels in client meetings, but still, he had just spent 30 days in China without telling anyone. It wasn't half as hard as I thought it would be. Dave works among more than 10,000 employees at Hewlett-Packard, HP, and, against all odds, he actually likes it. He has no desire to start his own company, and has spent the last 7 years doing tech support for customers in 45 states and 22 countries. 6 months ago, however, he had a small problem. She measured 5 feet 2 inches and weighed 110 pounds. Was he, like most men afraid of commitment, unwilling to stop running around the house in Spider-Man underoos or inseparable from the last refuge of any self-respecting man, the PlayStation? No, he was past all that. In fact, Dave was locked and loaded, ready to pop the big question. But he was short on vacation days, and his girlfriend lived out of town. Way out of town. 5,913 miles out of town. He had met her on a client visit to Shenzhen, China, and it was now time to meet the parents, logistics be damned. Dave had only recently begun to take tech calls at home, and, well, isn't home where the heart is? One plane ticket and one T-Mobile GSM tri-band phone later, he was somewhere over the Pacific en route to his first 7-day experiment. 12 time zones hence, he proposed, she accepted, and no one was the wiser stateside. The second field trip was a 30-day tour of Chinese family and food. Pig face, anyone? Ending with Shumei Wu becoming Shumei Camarillo. Back in Palo Alto, HP continued its quest for world domination, neither knowing nor caring where Dave was. He had his calls forwarded to his newly begotten wife's cell phone, and all was right in the world. Now, back in the U.S., after hoping for the best and preparing for the worst, Dave had earned his Eagle Scout mobility badge. The future looks flexible indeed. He is going to start by spending 2 months in China every summer, and then move to Australia and Europe to make up for lost time, all with the full support of his boss. The key to cutting the leash was simple. He asked for forgiveness instead of permission. I didn't travel for 30 years of my life, so why not? That's precisely the question everyone should be asking. Why the hell not? From Cast to Castaway. The old rich, the upper class of yore with castles and ascots and irritating little lapdogs, are characterized as being well-established in one place. The Schwartzes of Nantucket and the McDonald's of Charlottesville. Blech. Summers in the Hamptons is so 1990s. The guard is changing. Being bound to one place will be the new defining feature of middle class. The new rich are defined by a more elusive power than simple cash, unrestricted mobility. This jet setting is not limited to startup owners or freelancers. Employees can pull it off too. If you're an entrepreneur, don't skip this chapter. This introduction to remote working tools and tactics is integral to the international pieces of the puzzle that follow. Not only can they pull it off, but more and more companies want them to pull it off. Best Buy, the consumer electronics giant, is now sending thousands of employees home from their HQ in Minnesota and claims not only lowered costs, but also a 10 to 20% increase in results. The new mantra is this: work wherever and whenever you want, but get your work done. In Japan, a three-piece zombie who joins the 9-to-5 grind each morning is called a salaryman. And in the last few years, a new verb has emerged: datsu sarasuru, to escape datsu, the salaryman, sara, lifestyle. It's your turn to learn the datsu sara dance. This verb is used by Japanese women as well, even though female workers are referred to as OL, office ladies. Trading bosses for beer, an Oktoberfest case study. To create the proper leverage to be unshackled, we'll do two things. Demonstrate the business benefit of remote working and make it too expensive or excruciating to refuse a request for it. Remember Sherwood? His French shirts are beginning to move, and he is itching to ditch the U.S. for a global walkabout. He has more than enough cash now, but needs to escape constant supervision in the office before he can implement all the time-saving tools from elimination and travel. He is a mechanical engineer and is producing twice as many designs in half the time since erasing 90% of his time wasters and interruptions. This quantum leap in performance has been noticed by his supervisors, and his value to the company has increased, making it more expensive to lose him. More value means more leverage for negotiations. Sherwood has been sure to hold back some of his productivity and efficiency so that he can highlight a sudden jump in both during a remote work trial period. Since eliminating most of his meetings and in-person discussions, he has naturally moved about 80% of all communication with his boss and colleagues to email and the remaining 20% to phone. Not only this, but he has used tips from Chapter 7, Interrupting Interruption and the Art of Refusal, to cut unimportant and repetitive email volume in half. This will make the move to remote less noticeable, if at all noticeable, from a managerial standpoint. Sherwood is running at full speed, with less and less supervision. Sherwood implements his escape in 5 steps, beginning on July 12th during the slow business season and lasting 2 months, ending with a trip to Oktoberfest in Munich, Germany, for 2 weeks as a final test before bigger and bolder vagabonding plans. Step 1. Increase investment. First, he speaks with his boss on July 12th about additional training that might be available to employees. He proposes having the company pay for a 4-week industrial design class to help him better interface with clients, being sure to mention the benefit to the boss and business, i.e., he'll decrease interdepartmental back and forth and increase both client results and billable time. Sherwood wants the company to invest as much as possible in him so that the loss is greater if he quits. Step 2. Prove increased output offsite. Secondly, he calls in sick the next Tuesday and Wednesday, July 18th and 19th, to showcase his remote working productivity. Any reason to be home will do, cable or phone installation, home repairs, etc. Or, if you prefer not to use a ruse, work a weekend or take 2 vacation days. He decides to call in sick between Tuesday and Thursday for 2 reasons. It looks less like a lie for a 3-day weekend, and it also enables him to see how well he functions in social isolation without the imminent reprieve of the weekend. He ensures that he doubles his work output on both days, leaves an email trail of some sort for his boss to notice, and keeps quantifiable records of what he accomplished for reference during later negotiations. Since he uses expensive CAD software that is only licensed on his office desktop, Sherwood installs a free trial of GoToMyPC remote access software so that he can pilot his office computer from home. Step 3. Prepare the quantifiable business benefit. Third, Sherwood creates a bullet point list of how much more he achieved outside the office with explanations. He realizes that he needs to present remote working as a good business decision and not a personal perk. The quantifiable end result was 3 more designs per day than his usual average and 3 total hours of additional billable client time. For explanations, he identifies removal of commute and fewer distractions from office noise. Step 4. Propose a revocable trial period. Fourth, fresh off completing the comfort challenges from previous chapters, Sherwood confidently proposes an innocent 1-day-per-week remote work trial period for 2 weeks. He plans a script in advance, but does not make it a PowerPoint presentation or otherwise give it the appearance of something serious or irreversible. Review the puppy dog clothes from Income Autopilot 2 Testing the Muse. Sherwood knocks on his boss's office door around 3 p.m. on a relatively relaxed Thursday, July 27th, the week after his absence, and his script looks like the following. Stock phrases are stressed, and footnotes explain negotiating points. Sherwood: Hi, Bill. Do you have a quick second? Bill: Sure, what's up? Sherwood: I just wanted to bounce an idea off of you that's been on my mind. 2 minutes should be plenty. Bill: Okay, shoot. Sherwood: Last week, as you know, I was sick. Long story short, I decided to work at home despite feeling terrible. So here's the funny part. I thought I would get nothing done, but ended up finishing 3 more designs than usual on both days, Plus, I put in 3 more billable hours than usual without the commute, office noise, distractions, etc. Okay, so here's where I'm going. Just as a trial, I'd like to propose working from home Mondays and Tuesdays for just 2 weeks. You can veto it whenever you want, and I'll come in if we need to do meetings. But I'd like to try it for 2 weeks and review the results. I'm 100% confident that I'll get twice as much done. Does that seem reasonable? Bill. What if we need to share client designs? Sherwood. There's a program called Go to My PC that I used to access the office computer when I was sick. I can view everything remotely, and I'll have my cell phone on me 24/7. So, what do you think? Test it out starting next Monday and see how much more I get done? Do not digress from your goal. Once you've addressed an objection or concern, go for the close. Bill. Okay, fine. But it's just a test. I have a meeting in 5 and I have to run, but let's talk soon. Sherwood. Great, thanks for the time. I'll keep you posted on it all. I'm sure you'll be pleasantly surprised. Sherwood didn't expect to get 2 days per week approved. He asked for 2 so that, in the case his boss refused, he could ask for just 1 as a fallback position. Bracketing. Why didn't Sherwood go for 5 days remote per week? 2 reasons. First, it's a lot for management to accept off the bat. We need to ask for an inch and turn it into a foot without setting off panic alarms. Second, it is a good idea to hone your remote working abilities. Rehearse a bit before shooting for the big time, as it decreases the likelihood of crises and screw-ups that will get remote rights revoked. Step 5. Expand remote time. Sherwood ensures that his days outside of the office are his most productive to date, even minimally dropping in-office production to heighten the contrast. He sets a meeting to discuss the results with his boss on August 15th and prepares a bullet point page detailing increased results and items completed compared to in-office time. He suggests upping the ante to 4 days per week remote for a 2-week trial, fully prepared to concede to 3 days if need be. Sherwood. It really turned out even better than I expected. If you look at the numbers, it makes a lot of business sense, and I'm enjoying work a lot more now. So here we are. I'd like to suggest, if you think it makes sense, that I try 4 days a week for another 2-week trial. I was thinking that, coming in Friday is the best day to be in the office, people are relaxed and tend to leave early, would make sense to prepare for the coming week, but we could do whichever day you prefer. Bill. Sherwood, I'm really not sure we can do that. Sherwood. What's your main concern? Do not accept a vague refusal. Pinpointing the main concern in detail enables you to overcome it. Bill. It seems like you're on your way out. I mean, are you going to quit on us? Second, what if everyone wants to do the same? Sherwood. Fair enough. Good points. Don't jump to the defensive after an objection. Acknowledge the validity of a boss's concerns to prevent an ego-driven battle of wills. First, to be honest, I was close to quitting before, with all the interruptions and commute and whatnot. But I'm actually feeling great now with the change in routine. Note this indirect threat dressed as a confession. It will make the boss think twice about refusing, but prevents the win-lose outcome of an ultimatum. I'm doing more and feel relaxed for a change. Second, no one should be allowed to work remotely unless they can show increased productivity, and I'm the perfect experiment. If they can show it, however, why not let them do it on a trial basis? It lowers cost for the office, increases productivity, and makes employees happier. So, what do you say? Can I test it out for 2 weeks and come in Fridays to take care of the office stuff? I'll still document everything, and you, of course, have the right to change your mind at any point. Bill. Man, you are an insistent one. Okay, we'll give it a shot, but don't go blabbing about it. Sherwood. Of course. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate the trust. Talk to you soon. Sherwood continues to be productive at home and maintains his lower in-office performance. He reviews the results with his boss after